Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And Johnny, what are we talking about today,
man?
What
is the episode number, first
of all? Oh, 163.
So we don't even know what we're talking about, and he can't remember the episode number.
It's just been... Well, I just asked you right before I clicked record. Did we record on Thursday?
So we've only been, what, that's 4 days? 5 days?
Four or five, yeah.
Five full days?
Five-ish? Well, not even 5 full days, because it was in the evening, and here we are in the morning. Yeah. Anyway.
So nothing's happened.
Nothing has happened.
Because it's the weekend, and all of Hollywood takes off on the weekend.
Well, it's Labor Day weekend. Nothing came out.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No movies
came out.
Today's
Labor Day.
What's the last movie you saw that wasn't like a Marvel or Star Wars movie in the theater?
Mission Impossible.
Oh, okay. Let me change that. What's the last non-genre movie you saw in the theater? Do you go to non-genre? Oh, I mean, it's still kind of genre.
It's not. So. I don't count Mission Impossible as geeky.
Yeah.
It's action adventure.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's not geeky like, you know, Marvel or Star Wars type movies would be considered.
Sure. We went and saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, you this told past me week. That. Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. And like, I know we talked about this a little bit with the whole Hawaii 5-0 with Grace Park and Daniel Day Kim quitting. And Constance Wu, who I love on Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
Love her. Jessica is my favorite character on that show. And she's been really, really outspoken, right, about like Asians getting these roles and these opportunities.
Right.
And actually, one little bit of news. It did cross $110 million domestically for, I think it was probably, I don't know what the budget was. I imagine the budget was pretty low,
so
probably under
$50
million.
Authorize a sequel?
Well, it's three books.
Okay.
So, but I will say, she 100% put her money where her mouth was and blew that character out of the water. She was so, so good. Like, when she was likable, she was likable. When she was vulnerable, she was vulnerable. When she was, like, you know, really kind of stepping up her game.
Right.
And was like, hell yeah, man. I'm behind you. And it was, but it was a great movie. The only issue I had with it was Ken Jeong showed up from Community and The Hangover
and stuff like that.
And he's just so recognizable as Ken Jeong.
What did he show up in? Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's just like, okay, we know who that guy is.
Well, it's just because he's so recognizable.
Right.
But that being said, like, I got over that real quick because his character was hilarious.
Sure, yeah.
And like, the little bit
fun.
He had.
I mean, he's funny. Yeah. So
he's great in those small doses.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, they overdid him in Dark of the Moon, I think.
Well, you know, I did watch Jack Ryan this weekend. I don't know if you watched.
Did you watch the whole thing?
It's only 8 episodes.
Okay.
And
I didn't know.
So what? So 4 days. I watched 2 episodes a day.
Right,
actually, I watched like 3 on Sunday.
I forgot about it until like Saturday night.
It's really. I mean,
well, I forgot that it was September until today. Yeah. The milk went bad, and that's.
Oh, I see. I see. All right. Yeah, well, it was actually really good.
What month is this? Why is the milk say June?
why is August there stuff floating around in my milk?
Did anybody invite a Tinktonese over? Is that why we have this?
Why did my milk turn blue?
If you get the Tinktonese joke, you know.
But no, Jack Ryan was really, really good. I won't spoil anything for you. It's what 24 should have done.
With their sequel?
No, just the way they... Like, after the... third season of 24.
Okay.
This is the direction they should have gone, to be honest, with the way the plot was handled and then getting away from the real time, one day, one season. That being said, there is a part right at the very beginning where he's, you've seen in the preview where he's rowing.
Yeah.
That's the very first scene that where you meet him. There's something that happens first, and then we meet Jack Ryan in present day. Well, there's something that happens in like 1983. And then Jack Ryan rowing. And then he's riding his bike. And it's like, oh, my God, it's to Jim Halpert. Like, it immediately.
Oh, like a bicycle?
Yeah, a bicycle. Okay. It's like, put him on a motorcycle. Put him on something else.
Right.
Like, put him in a car of some sort.
So this is Jack Ryan, young Jack Ryan, pre-Patriot Games, pre-Hunt for Red October.
4 years at the CIA.
Right, yeah.
So.
He's an analyst or... supposed to be an analyst. Has he been in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, so he's out of the Marines, and I don't want to, like,
so,
I will say.
Here, the parts that I know about Jack Ryan, because I've read several of the books and that. He was in the Marine Corps.
Yes.
Did they write it where he broke his back?
Yes.
Okay. So that's really all you need to know.
Okay.
At this point, the Jack Ryan that's on the TV series is the younger version who hasn't married yet.
No, and you meet her really early.
You meet
early
Kathy
too.
In this episode, yep. In the show,
in the first episode. Yeah,
yeah, she was mentioned as a cast member.
You see
so
them starting to date.
This is kind of some of all fears, Jack Ryan.
Yeah,
because he hadn't married her in that movie, or he had just met her, and she didn't know that he worked for the CIA. So it's parts of that, and it's parts Tom Clancy.
Yeah, told her he was an analyst for the State Department.
It just says based on Tom Clancy's novels, right?
It's so not. This isn't story. Coming from any book.
Yeah, it's a new story.
Well, and it's got to be a new story because it's, it's present day. It takes place in present day.
They could have got away with the. Doing Jack Ryan Jr.
Yeah.
Which is the way the books went.
Right.
Eventually. And he could have played Jack Ryan Jr. and Harrison Ford could have showed up at
some
point. And went, it's all true. Everything that happened. The Red October.
So John is great.
Yeah.
He's awesome in the role. Like I said, there's that first little Jim Halpert thing, but then you get over it.
Right.
Abby Cornish is great as Kathy. And then Wendell Pierce is Greer.
Oh, is he playing
which
Admiral
is
Greer? Was he Admiral Greer?
No, he is not Admiral Greer.
Okay.
He just had a whole issue where he lost a bunch of people somewhere on the other side of the world, and they brought him back to the home base and kind of stuck him in this BS role, and then him and Jack really hate each other at first, which is really, really cool. And it's cool to see how their relationship over the 8 episodes really gets closer to what James Earl Jones and Harrison Ford were.
Wendell Pierce, the right person.
You
got it up on there.
Wendell Pierce. From The Wire. From Bunk from The Wire.
Okay.
Or the Secret Service agent from Hackers.
I forgot about that. But he showed up on the last couple seasons of The Mentalist.
And
because they changed locales and all that type of stuff. And he was in charge of the team, and I really enjoyed him on that. I was making sure I was thinking of the right Wendell Pierce.
Yeah.
Because there may be more than one Wendell
Pierce. Well, probably not as an actor, but, they tend to frown upon actors having the same name. With the Screen Actors Guild. But yeah, I mean, because IMDb and Google, it's really easy to track people down.
Michael Keaton is actually Michael Douglas. And,
yeah.
That type of thing.
Yep.
That used to be a union rule, screen.
That was the Screen Actors. Yeah,
rule,
so I said.
But I don't think it's as much of a rule anymore because a lot of people are named after actors,
right?
So it's kind of hard to say, you're not allowed to use that name,
right? God, what's going to happen in 30 years when people start naming their kids Jai Courtney?
I don't know.
Nobody's
going
to
name all their daughters Elsa and Anna, so it don't matter.
Yeah. No kidding.
What one parent out there that's a future parent, name your kid Rapunzel. Just please.
Rapunzel.
Have a daughter named Rapunzel and a son named
Rumpelstiltskin.
Ooh,
there Rapunzel you go. And Rumpelstiltskin.
There you go.
Or Rapunzel and Eugene.
Eugene, yeah. I was gonna say Eugene or Flynn.
Is it it's Flynn Fitzherbert? Was that it?
Well, it was Flynn Rider and his real name was
Eugene Fitzherbert or something,
Yeah. That's right. We watch Disney movies.
Well, yeah. You watch Disney movies because you love Disney.
Right.
I watch Disney movies because I live with two Disney freaks.
Disney's
and
evil was what
one
I was
of my
told
best friends
recently.
Is a Disney freak. So.
I was told recently Disney's evil. So,
I keep hearing that.
Yeah.
We talked about Batista a few weeks ago, and he's still at it.
Wow.
He hasn't even stopped.
Disney's a business. All businesses are evil in some way or another.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I've worked for two of the biggest Cincinnati businesses in the world, and businesses are evil.
Well, we were just complaining about
the
company we both work for now. And
as they say, poop rolls downhill, and I'm at the bottom of the hill.
And see, I'm a little higher up than you.
I'm catching it all. I feel like, what is it? Is it 300 when
The wall.
Army's coming at him, and he's just standing there. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Somewhere.
Oh, at the end.
Yeah.
He took his helmet off because it stifled his vision.
Yeah.
He dropped his shield because, I love that scene. By the way,
literally dropped my shield and my helmet at this point.
You're just sitting there with your spear ready to throw. Have you
Oh wait, what was
it?
I know what I was going to ask.
Oh yeah,
the thing that was on my mind because I've been watching stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
When is a sequel not a sequel?
When is a sequel not a sequel?
Yeah.
When it's a spinoff, when it doesn't have direct character correlation, or if it takes a secondary character. Hold on. When it takes a secondary character and pushes it out into their own movie,
like
then it's a spinoff.
Right. Not a sequel to
I don't think this is. Well, even though it's got Paul Rudd
and
not Amy Mann. What's her name?
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, it's gonna. Anyway, I'll remember it in a little bit.
That came up in the video I was actually watching, but I started arguing with the video.
Yeah,
it was one of the top 10 top 10s where you didn't know it was a sequel.
So it's only a sequel if Seth Rogen or Katherine Heigl show up in the movie,
but
as a more than cameo role.
Does
in my opinion,
is this a sequel or just a cycle?
I think spinoff is the right word.
I think a cycle is the right word for certain movies.
Okay.
The argument was Mad Max.
Okay.
Road Warrior is a sequel according to this YouTube channel.
Okay.
I don't think Road Warrior is a sequel. Road Warrior is a cycle in the story. As is Thunderdome, as is Fury Road.
Okay.
And the argument even went more because of Jack Ryan.
Okay, do me a favor and explain cycle to me. What you're saying.
So
a cycle
would just be a part of that person's life.
Okay.
The story of Mad Max, the first one's the origin, tells why he is the way he is.
Right.
But then you just see parts of his life. Like the Road Warrior is a sequence in his life. You know, and it came up with Jack Ryan too, because there is The Hunt for Red October.
Right.
There is Patriot Games.
Which are,
are they sequels?
No, because one, you have two different actors playing the role. And plus,
but it's still the same character.
But with Patriot, just because it's the same character, but Patriot Games took a lot out of the book.
Right.
And then you have Clear and Present Danger, which if we're going to talk about like a sequel, like I think Clear and Present Danger is a closer sequel to Red October than it is to Patriot
Games.
Part
of the cycle.
Right. No, yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
So the Mission Impossible movies, right?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 1, 2, 3, and 4
mm-hmm.
are cycles.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 4, 5, and 6 are a trilogy.
Are a trilogy.
But
it's one story.
By nature, sequels
to each
other.
Well, see, that's where I was also, argued that. The Lord of the Rings is one movie with three different chapters.
Well, and part of that is because
Right.
they weren't going to make a 12-hour movie for people to go sit.
Well, Well, it is a 12-hour movie
because
most people will sit and watch the whole thing now.
Yes, I live with one of those. And she does it constantly, and it drives me at the wall.
We did it with The Hobbit recently. So The Hobbit was fun because as we're watching it, I was doing IMBD trivia commentary telling her all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes that she didn't know about with all the studio drama.
Yep.
And all that. But this whole thing where I was like, the Mad Max movies are different movies. I mean, you know, in Australia, Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior was released that way.
Right.
Because people wouldn't have known what it was.
Correct.
In America, Mad Max had barely came out, and The Road Warrior was like a big studio movie for America.
There's people who thought Mad Max was the
sequel to Road Warrior.
So, because I saw Road Warrior first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most people that our generation did see The Road Warrior first.
I saw The Road Warrior when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Mad Max until high school.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like most of our generation, your generation, my generation, because there is enough of a gap there.
Actually, I saw Mad Max, the first one.
Yeah.
The weekend Thunderdome came out.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how old I was for that. But I saw that because I wanted
87, 88, I think.
Well, then that wasn't true. Maybe it was when I know what it was. Is when Thunderdome came out on video.
Oh, okay.
And then.
So you're talking like 88, 89, 90.
We just grabbed all three movies.
Right.
And then watched them in release order.
So I remember seeing Road Warrior first.
Yeah.
Mad Max second. And then Thunderdome years later.
Yeah.
I think I had the soundtrack to Thunderdome before I seen it.
Well, yeah, everybody. Because
still the album.
Because that Tina Turner song was played ad nauseum on the radio.
Hero.
Yeah. Which is a great song.
The
Tina
other song
Turner rules.
Is better.
What's the other song?
I forget the name of it. Oh. But it's her. I mean, she did both songs for it. Like, the album only is two songs, and then the musical version of We Don't Need Another Hero. And then the soundtrack.
Oh, cool.
And it's like.
So, like, the score.
Yeah, the score. Okay. Yeah, sorry, the score. So, yeah, I've had that before I ever seen the movie. I think I've seen the movie like a year later.
Okay.
But, you know, Road Warrior was one of those movies where when it was on TV back when I was a kid, I watched it.
Okay.
Like, where no matter where it was like one of the first movies, I think, where I just watched it wherever it was in the movie.
So, like,
I got aggravated because I'm like, it's just the way people label stuff anymore. But I was just like, I don't feel like the Mad Max movies are sequels. I don't feel like the Lord of the Rings has a sequel.
It's just,
I kind of feel like the Hunger Games doesn't have a sequel because that came up on a list too.
So the problem with, I do think the Hunger Games.
I like the cycle word.
So Hunger Games and Catching Fire.
Yeah.
Sequels.
Yeah.
Catching Fire and Mockingjay, cycle.
Yeah.
Because the Hunger Games ends. It ends definitively.
Oh, yeah.
If there's no other books,
that would have been fine.
That's a great story. Catching Fire, which is the better book in my opinion, ends on a cliffhanger.
That goes directly in.
The book starts the next page. Like, it's like you would turn the page to another book. So I would go with the cycle there because it is two different stories, though, because... okay, so Fast and Furious. So Fast and Furious 1, 2, 3, and 4... are cycles,
mm-hmm.
and then 4, 5, 6 sequels because they're not,
or
you
just
know,
one whole story.
No, because they're not one whole story. Because, and then 7 and 8 so far are one whole story.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a nice little hodgepodge of like all of it. Because, Too Fast, Too Furious, while it has. You know, I mean, the only character is Paul Walker who returns from the first one.
The guy who was in charge of the investigation on Dominic
I'm talking about the main character, cast. So Brian's the only one who comes back.
Right.
And it really is a completely different movie. I mean.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And then,
different vibe, different director, different
and then,
story.
Tokyo Drift, I would actually consider that a spinoff, not a...
Until
sequel.
Han.
But then they roll Han in when they decide, like, hey, we're gonna say this one happened.
Yeah.
At this point, and like we're leading up to it.
We're gonna shoot a sequence that wasn't shot for.
But we didn't get that
Tokyo
until 5.
I know, and like at that point he had bulked up and got older, and it was like, wait a minute.
Well, so you can say that he had gone to Tokyo and like been so sad Giselle died and was like losing weight and that sort of thing, but
yeah, I don't. No, I meant Lucas Black.
Oh, well,
when he talks to Lucas Black at the garage, it's the end of Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, is that the same actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're literally like, wait.
Lucas Black is 10 years older and 20 pounds of muscle.
Right.
And dude, I love that kid in, what was the show? Shoot.
American
Gothic.
Yeah.
Dude, he was like
an awesome child.
Yeah.
Gary
he was
Cole
an awesome child actor.
That was Sarah Paulson's first like major thing.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
She was
really good in that too.
The ghost sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a tendency to go for the horror stuff.
Yeah. Cause she's on
all the American Horror Story stuff.
See, I watched the first half of the first season of that.
Oh, The Killer House?
Whatever it was with Connie Britton and Billy McDermott. It was like, this just isn't for me. And then like as the anthology went on, it's like yeah, no, I don't want to watch any of this.
So,
like,
this next season is a crossover between two of the anthologies, the Murder House and one of the other ones.
But
Connie Britton and Dylan McDermott are coming back.
I'm not, like, huge into horror, though.
Right,
like, we've been over this. Like, but I was like, well, I kind of want to watch this and check it out because I do like anthology stories, even if they are horror-ish. But yeah, no, it's just – and I recognize –
Well, it's not like Black Mirror. Black Mirror rides the edge of horror, sci-fi – and pretty much most genres.
Right.
To a certain point, but then they don't cross that point. Like, the most horror episode of Black Mirror, I feel like, was the museum.
The VR. Where the guy got stuck in the VR.
Oh, yeah, well,
that was straight up,
we're going to do a horror story. But the most, like, horror that wasn't
the last
museum
episode.
Was Shuri.
Yeah, was Shuri. So... yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I think that one like rides the edge of horror where it's just like, you know, there's a certain amount of terror in that story.
Yeah, I don't
know. Where the Haunted House VR thing was just set up to be that way.
I think Metalheads was kind of horror.
Yeah.
I mean,
like I said,
to have
all
to sit through it and watch it.
a certain certain edge of like horror, right, sci-fi. You know, they mix it together well enough.
Yeah.
That, you know. But Mad Max is not sequels. Those aren't sequels. They're just movies in the cycle.
I'll get on board with that.
Yeah. So. Because, I mean, now you've recast it. It's like James Bond movies. James Bond movies are cycles. There's no sequels.
Yeah.
I think the closest one probably is Spectre is a sequel to...
The Daniel Craig ones are...
It's still a cycle.
But it's... So Casino Royale leads directly into Quantum of Solace. Which leads directly into Skyfall. Which leads directly into Spectre.
So it's just
which,
one story.
I never finished Spectre. It was so bad.
I've never watched Spectre.
Well, and you saw Danny Boyle left?
No,
the James Bond 25?
Okay.
And apparently they're throwing out the script too, so who knows what's happening there.
Oh, dear.
Huh?
Oh, dear. Why can't we just do these as standalone movies? They're James Bond.
I don't know.
You know, there's like, what, 19 or 20 books he wrote? And I don't think they've used all of them for movies.
No.
So just go back and...
So they're just make up a cool story.
Use the reference material.
Where do you stand on Idris Elba as James Bond?
Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah. James Bond's just a character.
It's a call sign. In my opinion.
Well, it's like that idea that I told you when we seen Skyfall, that the number should have just been designated to the next person.
Right.
So, like, you walk into a room somewhere in a basement somewhere under MI5, and there's pictures of Sean Connery and pictures of Roger Moore and that, and this is the next guy that gets his picture on the wall when he's dead.
Yeah, it's just their cover identity.
Because Kingsman answers a good...
Kingsman does a great job with that.
But, and I think it's because Mark Millar probably thinks along the same lines that I think with that, where it's like, it should have been.
Did you just compare yourself to Mark?
No, Millar? I didn't compare myself. Because if I was that good of a writer, would I be sitting here recording this podcast? No.
Hopefully. I'm just interviewing.
An interview.
So, Johnny, tell me about your latest interview.
Because I live down the street from you. But yeah, you got to do it over the phone because you're not coming to my house.
I've been to your house. I'm okay just pulling up and waiting for you to walk
that's
out.
That's right. There's a lot of archives there. It's like walking into the warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
I have mice pushing around little carts with stuff on them.
You have the Voltron mice?
Yes.
They climb up on your shoulder and talk to you. And so.
Yes, that would be...
You know, I did like the way they handled that, where she could communicate with them because they ended up in her stasis pod.
Yeah, so she has a...
Yeah, so she has a mental link with them. That was kind of cool. Totally off topic.
So how the hell did Lance understand them, though?
He didn't.
Did they understand him, though?
Well, they understand, but...
They speak interlack.
Yeah. Anywho.
Because anything where you're like, two different alien races can understand each other totally, that's interlack. They're just all speaking the same, you know, vocabulary.
Yes, sir. Indeedy.
Star Wars.
So Star Wars is actually in the books has been handling that really well.
Yeah.
Because it's basic, you know, that's what they call it, basic. And, you know, even like re-listening to Heir to the Empire right now, I'm on book two. And there were a couple times where they're like, man, I wish I had C-3PO with me because I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I don't trust their translator.
Right. It's like the Hutts. The Hutts don't speak basic. Unless they really have to.
Zero did.
Unless they really have to.
Yeah. Zero likes
speaking
basic.
Well, if you chose to live on Coruscant, you better know basic. If you live in New York City, you better know basic, which is English.
Yeah.
Because English is the.
I think if I still lived in New York, I would have probably picked up more Spanish than what I know now.
Sure, yeah.
And I would have definitely learned some Mandarin.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
just to survive
a little bit of an Asian language
and then a little bit
of a Hispanic language.
It's a
lesson that was taught when I worked at Fifth Third.
Yeah.
They had etiquette type classes and that you could take for free. And there was a guy that taught a class and he told us, he says in 30 years from now, and this is the 1990s, he said in 30 years from now, there's going to be a language that's a mixture of English, one of the Asian languages, and Hispanic. And he said, you know, it may be like just in the early stages, he goes, but in the future, you could imagine that somebody's going to have that as a language base. And I'm like,
Joss Whedon must have taken that class for Firefly.
Maybe he did.
But and then I probably would have picked up some like Armenian just because like there were like three really good Armenian restaurants that I like to go to when I live there. Yeah. So anyway, but I get it. But yeah, so when is a sequel then?
When it's a continuation of the story?
Well, yeah, well, like what do you define as a sequel then? So we've established cycles, we've established things like Lord of the Rings or like one Star story.
Wars, Star Wars to Empire Strikes Back is a sequel.
Right.
To Return of the Jedi is a sequel.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, let's compare Hunger Games 1-3
okay.
to Star Wars 4-6.
Are we counting
6.
Both Mockingjays as one movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of bullshit. Like, yeah. I hate that. One,
Harry Potter and...
okay, one, it was the shortest book.
Yeah, it is.
For the Mockingjay. Two, it was a cash grab. And three, they took the longest... They put the longest story where it needed to not be the longest story. And if they were going to make any of them two movies, it should have been the first one.
Yeah.
Because... they left so many things packed up.
Two movies, you show how things are in the world, and then you go to the game.
Well, I think the game could have been even longer.
That's what I'm saying.
Though,
the game could have been one movie.
Yeah, but the other thing about that is like they left out like key characters that then they had to drop complete like storylines later on, which was stupid. Now, you have those. Okay, so main sequel trilogy.
Finale. Yeah.
Okay, so. Star Wars, 100% standalone.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing ever happens with Star Wars, the episode 4, A New Hope, Star Wars, as I like to call it.
As most normal people would call it.
And then you have Empire Strikes Back.
Which is just Empire Strikes
Which is
Back.
Years later.
Right.
But
well,
it
two
is.
2 years later.
Well, still, that's multiple years.
Yeah, 2 years later.
It's years later, and it brings those characters up to the next point in the story.
Right.
But it is a different story.
Right.
And then that one ends.
Yeah, so that's the thing. If a story is different, it's a sequel.
Yeah.
But well, then that's a cycle.
So that's my question. Right. Like, I'm trying to get you to answer this for me.
But a cycle is considered a sequential thing. But do you feel that the Road Warrior takes place after Mad Max?
Like no.
You said you've seen Mad
Max. I don't
Max.
Think it, like, I don't, I never felt like it did, even after seeing Mad Max. Right, I still feel like the Road Warrior is the first part of that story. Right.
But Mad Max is the origin story.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
But then, like, Fury Road, you're like, literally, like, is this a sequel? Does this count as a sequel? Or is this just something in the story? Well, and the best part is like, the original version of Star Wars novel. At the bottom, it says Star Wars, The Adventures of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
So those three movies are just The Adventures of Luke Skywalker. So are they sequels or are they just stories that are in The Adventures of Luke Skywalker?
I think it's a sequel when you have a similar main cast.
Right.
In every
What if you just
instance.
Have one person?
Then I would agree with your cycle comment.
Right.
If it's just one person and they have... So, again, Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Ethan Hunt is the mainstay.
Right.
You have Ving Rhames showing up in smaller roles.
But he shows up.
But he shows up as in smaller roles than he was in the first one until this last one, right?
But he's still there.
But so he's still there. He's, so, but it's still.
So is Ving Rhames the glue that holds the Mission Impossible movies together?
Oh, 100%. What, is that even a.
It's in the meats.
I mean, is that even a question?
It's in the meats.
So it's Ving Rhames and like people watching, is Tom Cruise going to. Is this the stunt that killed him?
Yeah.
You know?
That's the. That's the question, I think, whenever they announce a Mission Impossible movie is
Tom Cruise
going to
die?
Is Tom Cruise going to die? No. No, Siatu will make sure that he don't, or whatever the name of the god is.
Oh, Xenu.
Xenu, that's it.
Wow. I shouldn't know that off the top of my head.
Why not? It's another science fiction story. Dianetics?
Okay, Dune is a great example of that.
Oh, see? Yeah, there you go.
Dune is just the cycle of the Atreides family.
Right. Right.
And then Brian Herbert came in and ruined it.
So,
but that being said,
hey, my dad wrote. I can write too.
My dad wrote these books, and I joke. I think
Kevin J. Anderson co-wrote those. Didn't he?
Yeah, some of what Brian came up with is actually pretty.
Brian's
good,
like, hey, you wrote some Star Wars books. Can you change that to Dune?
Well, you've heard my Scientology story about that, which I'm totally not going to share live or
you never
on
told
the podcast.
Me any Scientology story.
Okay. when we're done. It is not something I want like publicly like out
there.
Were
you a former Scientologist?
No. I never joined Scientology. It's just I did something on a dare.
Oh, wait. Lee Remini's coming in the door to tell us otherwise.
Punch me in the face. Now, I was in that that cult with Alice and Mack.
No. Oh, wow. Before Alice and Mack.
Michael Rosenbaum's been talking about that.
They probably tried to recruit him, too. Well, no. I mean, Kirk said that she was originally part of that.
So, Kristen and someone else from the cast were part of it. But Michael Rosenbaum was talking about how he was on Theo Von's podcast. You know,
Okay.
Theo Von was on Road Rules.
Yeah.
And now he's a stand-up.
I was going to say the name's familiar.
He's really funny. His stand-up's really good. But he
Road Rules.
His podcast is interesting too, because he's actually a pretty decent interviewer. But he's talking to him and he just brings it up and he goes, "I know you haven't talked about this." And Rosenbaum was like, looked really uncomfortable at first, and then like got into it.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's like, "I didn't really know Allison or Kristen,
sure,
because Tom and I were in our 20s and they were 16, 17 years old.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have a lot of scenes with her. And so Tom and I just kind of stuck to ourselves. And, like, you know, it was a lot of hey, how was your weekend?
Really
and
was Kristen Crook.
Right.
Like, you know.
I mean, it was Tom and John Glover were the ones he spent the most time with. And then John Schneider.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say.
But.
Damn Boys Club.
Well,
no wonder why she went to beating people.
Anyway, but he was talking about her and he was, you know, like, all I knew is I thought she was this sweet kid. She had a really good head on her shoulders. She took care of her money. She showed up. She knew what to do. She did her scenes. She did them well.
Which means that it was probably easier to manipulate her, which I feel like is part of what happened to her, because she seemed.
I don't know enough.
Seeing interviews with her and that, she seemed innocent enough that she's one of those ones where you're like, yeah,
it's a really weird situation. But, you know, at the end of the day,
because Kristen Crook came out and said that, yeah, I was part of that for a minute.
Yeah.
And I got out when things didn't seem right.
She's like, it just wasn't for me or for anybody, really, as the case turned out to be.
You know.
But it was just really interesting to see.
I follow the cult of Johnny.
I was going to say, I follow Star Wars.
No, is it Johnny Bench? Johnny Be Good?
The catcher from the Reds, Johnny Bench.
Johnny is just a cult.
Johnny Appleseed.
Exactly. See, it's just a cult.
Johnny Hancock.
Yeah, see? You just go down the list.
No, it's Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock?
You've seen Tommy Boy, right?
Yeah.
When he writes Herbie Hancock and someone says, put your John Hancock on there, he goes, it's Herbie Hancock.
Right, yeah.
Did you watch Tag yet?
No.
Oh, you have to watch Tag. Like, even if you pay to rent it on the Roku.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
What did I watch the other night?
I don't know. What were you saying about Allison Mack and Michael Rosen?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got sidetracked there. So it was just a really interesting interview because, like, Michael's like,
I didn't know her that well.
He's like, it surprised me as much as it surprised anybody else.
The closest one on that cast, like, if you dissected that cast, into classes, there were certain classes that would cross over.
Sure.
But, like, Sam Jones and Allison Mack and Kristen Crook worked together very closely. Tom Welling worked with everybody
because right.
Tom Welling was the star of the show.
And Durance worked with everybody too when she came in.
But like, she didn't.
But she spent like her first season and a half. It was just
a lot of Alice and Mack.
With just Alice and Mack.
Cousins.
So, but yeah, it's just this really interesting thing. And I love these random casts, by the way, where we just kind of go stream of consciousness. It was just really interesting because like, I think the expectation of the interview questions that Theo was asking Michael Rosenbaum was
to stir up,
not to stir anything up, but just kind of like it was not an attacking sort of thing. It was just kind of like he just wanted to know.
Well, yeah, it's literally like if Michael Rosenbaum was sitting here, I would be like, so what's it like to dress as a woman?
Yeah,
because he's done that a few times. Do you like doing that? And I'm not trying to stir up trouble. I'm just like, do you like doing that role? Does it, like, because it is something totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, guys dressing up as girls for roles is different than guys dressing up the way they want to dress up.
Did you ever watch the Nick at Night show where he was the criminal who was posing as a preacher No. with Sarah Rue?
No, but I've heard of it.
He was really good Yeah. in that. That was a really good show.
But I mean, everything that I've ever seen Rosenbaum in was good to a certain point. And I think Urban Legend was probably the worst of everything Okay. that he's been in.
Was it Urban Legend?
I think he was in Urban Legends.
Or was it? No, it wasn't. I was thinking Final Fantasy. Or Final Destination.
Because
no,
he was
right.
in a show where he played a twin. Or, yeah, I can't remember the name of that.
Anyway, but, yeah.
Zoe Jack Duncan Jane something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Zoe Jack Duncan Jane.
Yeah. And he played one of the twins.
Okay.
And did that really well. That was like a short-lived comedy on WB.
I think it was UPN.
Maybe it was.
So,
same thing.
Well, I mean, it turned into Yeah. the WB, but which then turned into the CW.
That's a book I need to find so that you can borrow.
What?
I found a book a long time ago that was about that whole thing, the WB and UPN becoming CW,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually very interesting.
Well, it was Paramount and Warner Brothers joint.
The behind-the-scenes stuff was very interesting. And, you know, why shows stayed and why shows Yeah. didn't come with it and all that. Why Star Trek Voyager was their flagship?
Ugh.
What a flagship to use.
A sinking flagship. I'm sorry. That is the worst Star Trek series. I know I said it 2 years ago, and I stand by it.
You haven't watched Discovery yet, so of right now,
dude,
it is
there's
the worst
no way Discovery.
It's the worst you've seen,
there's
right?
no way Discovery is worse than Voyager. There
Even
is
the
no
Star
way.
Trek, the animated series is better than Star Trek.
And
Voyager.
The thing is I think Kate Mulgrew is one of the better captains they ever had.
Oh yeah, she eats up the worst. Like, and it's the thing that you hear the story about Patrick Stewart in that first year going, "What the hell am I doing here?" kind of thing. And we see what the hell he was doing mm-hmm. there. But it's that thing where Kate Mulgrew probably read a script and went, "Oh damn, like what is this ridiculous thing?" And still, even some of the worst episodes, she's the best thing in the show.
Like, have you ever seen Kate Mulgrew not have a good performance?
Right.
Like, she was awesome in The Black Donnellys, even though that was 13
and I
episodes.
Never watched that one,
it's on Netflix.
But
or
I watched
Hulu.
Her. Like, I watched
she's
the first season.
She's awesome
of
in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah,
she's awesome in that show.
But the thing about it is what's funny about that is the Next Generation cast is a family.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're definitely a family. And that. But the Voyager cast, I guess because of all the background drama that was going on, really is a family, like to the point that they meet up for dinner like once a month.
Cool, good for them.
Like that. And I'm like, because they talked about, like they've talked about in interviews and conventions and that, and whoever's in town, they all just meet up and go out to dinner.
That's really neat.
And then I think Jeri Ryan's husband is a chef, okay. so they go to his restaurant and that, and if she's there, she's yeah. there, if not. But I'm like, that's kind of cool because they took a lot of flack. And I mean, the show improved over the years. That was one where it was like.
So the acting was never the problem on
no.
this show.
Oh,
it was the
stories.
Ridiculous stories that yeah. they told. And the actors who were there did the absolute best job they could with the material
now,
that they
and
were
I'll
given.
I'll say this. If you want to look at a perfect example of woman empowerment, that is the show to watch.
Yeah.
Because that was woman empowerment before there was a woman empowerment movement type thing. That there is now.
Yeah.
And you're talking, what, 15 years ago? 20
yeah.
at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, the executive producer was a female.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain was a female. Mm-hmm. And every female on that show was a strong
yeah.
portrayal.
Was it B'Elanna?
B'Elanna Torres.
B'Elanna Torres yeah. was great. I loved. She's the character I liked second best behind Janeway. But...
It's one of those things where, in your mind, if you're a Star Trek fan, you play around with who you would do as a crew if you had to
Ooh.
Pick from all of them. And B'Elanna Torres would be my engineer.
Every time.
Over Scotty.
Yeah.
Because she, like, was doing crazy stuff that because they had to, you know, it was, you got, here's a ball of twine and a roll of tape.
And a dilithium crystal.
And a dilithium crystal and a toothpick. Go ahead. Do what you do.
But it's also because she came from not the Starfleet
she
Academy.
She had been in Starfleet. She had been kicked out. She
was
a criminal.
With the Maquis and,
but it was like
yeah.
one of those things where it's that and you know, Marina Sirtis and Gates McFadden will even acknowledge that they didn't know what they were doing half the time.
Sure.
Like I said, it was the woman empowerment thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you got it first with Deep Space Nine because Kira Nerys was like a very strong female character on that show. And then I think they picked up on that. And Jerry mm-hmm. Taylor worked on that show a lot. So,
yeah,
you know, but I think they picked up on this is what a certain range of Star Trek fans that were, you know, the second, third generation Star Trek fans at that point
yeah.
were wanting because there was more females.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's always been female fans, but like,
but that's not why it was a bad show. It was a bad show because it had just no direction in the storytelling.
Well, it was the bad politics that were going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Especially that first year because of the UPN crap and that book, like, you know, I realized some stuff reading that book and it's been years since I read it, but that factored into that first year being terrible. Mm-hmm. Like that first year, like almost unwatchable.
It's like, almost Next Generation versus Terrible Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Or actually, it's worse than Next Generation.
I mean,
first.
Yeah, it is worse.
But I mean,
point.
Those the first
I think
season.
There's only one episode in the first season besides the premiere that I would go back and watch.
And that's the sad thing is it was a great pilot.
Oh yeah.
Which and again, it's why you can never judge a series based on its pilot.
Right.
Never ever. You have to judge it based on that second and third episode in that first run.
Yeah.
To decide, is this something I want to watch?
Yeah, there's only one episode. Like, they come across a wormhole in the first season, like, fifth or sixth episode. And it's a wormhole that actually is to the Alpha Quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Romulan space. It's not big enough to fly a ship through. It's mm-hmm. big enough to send a signal through. So they send a signal through, and they find out it's in Romulan space. But they only find that out halfway through the episode because they actually beam
right.
the Romulan to the ship because they can do that.
Okay.
And then they find out that it was 20 years in the past and that he was dead and that their message didn't get sent back to Starfleet. And
okay.
I'm like, that was awesome
that's
storytelling.
That's cool. That's,
yeah, that's
cool
awesome
stuff.
Storytelling.
All right. So just kind of in this vein, what's your favorite sci-fi series of all time? TV series.
TV series?
And they can have movies and stuff like that, but just like the thing that started on television, what's your favorite?
I think Deep Space Nine.
For just sci-fi in general?
Just sci-fi in general, Deep Space Nine. Like I could pick five, probably. Just
all right, let's do your top five off the top of your head.
Not a top five, just eight.
Just your five off the top of your head.
No number one, no number two.
So Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine, Farscape, Battlestar Galactica, Modern.
BSG.
Yeah, BSG. The series that had Carl Urban, where he was the cop with the machine cop.
Oh,
I can't remember the name.
Almost Human.
Almost Human. I think I really enjoyed that show to the point that I was mad when they canceled
it. I want them to put that on somewhere streaming
yeah.
in the right order.
Right. And
Firefly, right?
Totally. It can be any show, animated or not.
Yeah.
Eon Flux.
Ooh. No B5.
No.
Interesting.
I enjoyed B5, but Eon Flux was just weird. And I think
that whole Liquid Television thing.
Well,
was
Liquid
awesome.
Television was weird, but like that sticks in my head still.
Yeah.
Like there's certain parts of that where I'm like, I've never watched the movie with Charlize Theron just because I know it'll ruin it for me.
You've seen the Fast and Furious movies. Oh, never mind.
The Eon Flux.
I heard that. I heard it wrong. I heard you say I've never watched a movie with Charlize Theron in it.
Oh, no. I can tell you the first movie I've seen with Charlize Theron in it.
2 Days in the Valley.
No.
Like everybody
Mighty
else.
Mighty Joe Young.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, 2 Days in the Valley was actually her first American
I know, but
movie.
Mighty Joe Young was the first thing yeah. I've seen her in.
Okay.
In the theater.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It had a giant ape in it. Of course I went and seen it.
That's all you.
Yeah. Ape movies.
Ape movies. Those are your favorite.
No, those aren't my favorite. It's the apes driving fast cars movies. That's my favorite. When are we getting that?
Oh. Planet of the Apes with NASCAR.
Fast and the Apish.
Ape and the Furious.
Ape and the Furious. Yes, I'm on it.
That should be a Blumhouse movie. Oh, Upgrade.
Man.
That's what I watched the other day.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, it looked good.
And the twist at the end
is
amazing.
There's
yeah.
a twist.
Yeah. And it's not like the,
is
ooh,
the
what
twist.
Is the twist
that he's the kid from Sixth Sense? And it's an indirect sequel to... Blumhouse.
No, Bruce Willis shows up with Mr. Glass and the monster.
Yes, yes. Well, but, and the funny thing was, we were we watched the Tim Tracker,
yeah,
that one YouTube channel, and he, it's hyping up for horror nights, Halloween, yeah, horror nights at Universal, and one of the houses is Blumhouse.
Oh,
it's just straight up Blumhouse. Yeah. And she was asking me, she goes, why do they always do Blumhouse at Halloween Horror Nights? And I literally went on their webpage and just read her, like, this is what they've done.
Okay.
And she's like, I get it now.
So is it just a bunch of people sitting around with, like, teacups?
No. So
swirling the spoon
around?
The last
2 years, Blumhouse was out in one of their, I forget what they call them, where they're out in the open and they're, yeah, not a haunted house. And it was The Purge.
Like a pop-up?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah, much like one of the street things. It was The Purge, where literally there was a lady standing up on a bus that was flipped over on its side, oh, wow, doing pronouncements about how The Purge was great and all that. And then it had all the people with the mask walking around and, you know, jump scaring you and stuff, okay, like that, because they can't touch you. And that, but right, now they're actually having a haunted house at Blumhouse. And I'm like, I wonder if Split will be in there.
That'd be cool.
Because, I mean, Split is a Blumhouse, yeah, movie. And to have somebody crawling across the ceiling as the Beast would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
But they can't videotape inside the houses, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
you,
no,
figure a haunted house with Blumhouse is going to have a bit of Insidious, a bit of The Conjuring, a bit of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
And maybe Split.
Yeah.
Like, because those are probably the best. Well, unless you want to do Get Out, which I haven't watched yet, so. I don't know why I haven't watched Get Out yet. Overly hyped?
It's okay.
Well, and that's the other one. Like, is The Dark Knight overly hyped?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
I'm
great
not the only one that feels like that.
I'm sorry, but The Dark Knight is not the best comic book movie of all time. And
is
the only
Dark
reason,
Knight, okay,
the only reason Heath Ledger won an Oscar
is because he died.
It's because he died before it even came out.
Okay. Not even talking about Heath Ledger on that. The story. Is The Dark Knight the best of that trilogy?
No. Because there's no way in hell you can get me to believe that Christian Bale and Aaron Eckhart are fighting over Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Okay. Take that away.
No.
Is The Dark Knight the best?
No. It's...
If Katie Holmes was in The Dark Knight?
I mean, I can understand them fighting over her, sure. But, okay, like, no. But anything that doesn't involve Heath Ledger,
yes,
it's just not good.
Okay.
Like, it took, like, all the stuff that they built from Batman Begins, and then... all Batman wants to do is quit. And then you get to Dark Knight Rises, and he did quit.
Yeah.
And the whole what we deserve and what we need and what we want and what we get. It was just, it was so.
Is Batman kind of cut off at the knees in that trilogy because of Rachel?
Yes.
So if Rachel wasn't there, it would have been a Batman story.
I think it should have been a Batman hunting down the Joker. Not Batman wanting to, or not Batman wanting to become Bruce Wayne
and marry Rachel,
has
because
never,
Rachel was
right,
dating,
yeah,
Harvey Dent,
and it's like, okay, there's something he wants that he can't have,
yeah,
and he can't just buy it,
right?
So let me just give up like my holy vow I've made,
right,
to my parents on their grave in the middle of a,
right,
you know, rainstorm.
So Ben Affleck's the better Batman. He's been doing it for 20 years. He's, you know, besides wanting to bang Wonder Woman, he, like, has not.
All right, one, who doesn't want to?
Well.
Two, I think that if Affleck were given more meat as Batman,
like
a meteor.
Like if they
would have
gave him a Batman.
A meteor Batman role.
And so that's where the conversation went with the sequels, too, and we're, yeah, going all over the place.
Oh, hold on real quick, though. The last thing about Upgrade.
Yeah.
The poor man's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I told you that's the poor man's Tom
Hardy.
Poor
man's Dane DeHaan.
Where?
The
Harrison
Gilbertson.
Oh, the poor man, Sonequa Martin.
Yeah. So.
Who else is in this?
Nobody. Like, it's like, there's nobody recognized in this movie.
This was shot in Europe.
Yeah, it was really good, though.
Was it shot in Europe?
Oh,
I totally.
I don't know, but.
And you still need to watch Devil.
Yeah, I know.
That guy is awesome in Devil.
All right. Anyway. All right. Sorry.
So sequels.
Yeah. Back to sequels.
Well, we're going all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
but we're talking about
sequels.
Batman.
Sequels has been.
It reminded me of something.
Yeah.
Justice League is a sequel to The Man of Steel.
Kinda.
Batman versus Superman is a sequel to The Man of Steel.
Kinda.
They're totally sequels.
They weren't set up to. Anyway.
I'm totally going to call them sequels,
okay,
from now on.
Fair
That's
enough.
An awesome sequel to The Man of Steel. Yeah. Awesome sequel.
Batman v Superman?
Yeah, totally an awesome sequel. With their bastardization of Doomsday.
Of and all Batman?
The stuff, the, all and the, Batman? Of all the stuff that made me mad in that movie, Doomsday made me the maddest.
Well,
like, if I could have jumped in that movie just to get in a fight with everybody, I would have punched Doomsday first. I would have gave Wonder Woman a hug. You look the part, baby. You look the part.
Smack Superman on the ass and be like, cheer up, buddy.
You look okay in that costume.
Cheer up, dude.
Just smile a little bit. Smile for me.
Shave the mustache.
It's like, hey, I've seen you smile before and other stuff.
You have a nice smile.
Yeah.
You should use it.
You smiled in Count of Monte Cristo multiple times. And there's who should have played Batman in that movie. Jim Caviezel should have been Batman.
Yeah. I don't know.
He already played Batman on Person of Interest. So.
Yeah. So like, back to the Dark Knight. Or yeah. Let's just back to the Nolan trilogy, right? And this is probably a whole episode we can
or
do.
Or the Nolan quadrilogy, because the Man of Steel takes place in that universe, too.
So, okay. But
so does that mean...
We can do a whole episode. We can do a whole episode on my thoughts about this.
I know. It was just, it's one of those things where it's another one where people
in a nutshell
to the greatest of the trilogy.
You know, in a, I'm in a nutshell kind of thing.
Sure.
The Dark Knight Rises is one of the four worst superhero movies of all time.
What are the other three?
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, wow.
Suicide Squad.
Wow. Really?
Age of Ultron.
Oh, wow.
I'm going modern. I'm not going like.
I thought you said of all time.
Oh, okay, modern. Sorry, modern superheroes.
I was going to say, we want to go like worst superhero movies of all time.
Well, you have the Captain America one. Those
Captain America ones were only TV movies.
Were they TV movies?
Yeah, they were TV movies.
Okay, so going through.
So legitimately, movies. You can't even count Roger Corman's because it was never released.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I actually have a soft spot for Corman's Fantastic Four. And I was going to say Fan Four.
Worst superhero movies released in the cinema of all time.
In my opinion, you have Fan Four Stick,
so
The Dark Knight Rises.
All time, like from the time we were born?
I mean, we were... I'm talking top four. Like, I would rather watch Blade Trinity than The Dark Knight Rises.
Whoa, damn.
Like, I'm not even kidding.
That's one of the worst superhero
and it's
movies.
Definitely on the top, like, the bottom 10.
Yeah.
But, like, I would much, like...
I totally agree with you on the Fantastic, or
Fanforstic.
Fanforstic, however you say it.
They put a four in the middle of the goddamn title. Yeah. It's Fanforstic.
Yeah.
That movie was garbage. The Dark Knight Rises is a mess of just four different storylines that
like
never converge.
It felt like three movies in one.
Right. And then...
We may have been in Inception when we were watching that movie.
It could be. Whereas, I love Inception. That's the thing. So the Dark Knight, though, like I keep getting off topic.
Well, you're fine.
This,
you're fine because it's all part of the same
the
muckety muck.
Okay, so Batman Begins.
It's a good standalone movie.
Is an amazing Batman origin story.
Yeah.
If they're gonna go and keep changing the Batman origin every 15 years, that's an amazing origin story and a great starting point.
Do you think in the future the Batman
universe.
Origin will not have his parents die?
I don't know.
Or do his parents always die?
I think his parents have to die, otherwise he's just a spoiled
Batman,
rich
right.
kid. He has to break.
Zorro, they never told the story. Sorry, I got a piece of garbage or something stuck to my foot.
Tape, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a sticker.
Oh.
Zorro.
Where'd that sticker
was
come from?
Underneath the table.
Weird.
Yeah. Zorro was what Batman's based off of.
Yeah.
Zorro didn't really ever go into detail what happened to his parents. And that, I mean,
but Zorro was an adult, right?
Yeah.
Who was an aristocrat who then decided, I'm going to stand up for the people who
like he had seen enough of the crap that he was tired of it.
He went like, he took like social justice warrior.
Yeah.
To like the next level.
I'm grabbing a sword and we're going to go cut some Z's in some people.
I'm getting a mask. I got this rapier. I'm going to go mess some people up.
Right.
All
right.
So then you have Bruce Wayne, right? If he just keeps growing up the way he's growing up and his parents don't die, he's given everything he wants. Yeah, but I don't think... But Tony Stark doesn't become Iron Man because he has to.
Or
because he wants to or because he has his need to.
Now we're doing what-ifs. So Bruce Wayne, whose dad was a doctor,
right.
was not really like rich, like, ha-ha, I'm rich, just as a doctor. And like,
right.
would Bruce Wayne be a doctor?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he would have gone that way.
Okay.
So I think he would have followed his dad and the doctor, and he would have followed his mom being like the humanitarian.
Yeah.
And like he would have gone around like helping people.
So he
absolutely
would have became a different Batman. He wouldn't have been Batman. He would have been the hero of Gotham, but he wouldn't have been Dark Knight of Gotham.
He would have been Gotham's.
He would have been the White Knight of Gotham.
Yeah. Anyway,
do you think Superman would have stayed a farmer even if he had the powers and he decided I don't want to be a hero?
I think only if Jonathan Kent dies really young in his life, because Jonathan is the one who
pushes him
to do more and be better,
right,
and to be responsible with the gifts that he's given.
Because the Nail Elseworld story, he became an Amish farmer.
Yeah, and he never left the farm.
Yeah.
So,
which I always thought would be like,
But that also makes sense with the Amish.
Yeah. That even though he's that strong and they found him in a ship and that, you know, bury the technology and, you know, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. Sorry.
Yeah, but anyway.
The Dark Knight.
With The Dark Knight, it's a fantastic Joker movie. Like, they keep talking about, oh, we need to make a standalone Joker movie. You already did.
No, it's called The Dark Knight.
It should have been called The Joker.
That would have been cool if they would have done it as Batman Begins and then did The Joker. Yeah.
And then, you know.
And then not done the third one.
And so this is like, we talked about we need to stop talking about The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi did the Dark Knight did this. The Last
Greatest
Jedi.
Greatest movie ever.
The Last Jedi did the same thing wrong that The Dark Knight did. They had all this time to go back and change the ending to get rid of, to kill off the character that died in real life. And then decided not to.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you bring back Two-Face for The Dark Knight Rises after he's been, you know, chilling out in Wayne Manor for 5 years and nobody's seen him.
So, like,
that's a way different story. Then you don't need Bane.
The Dark Knight where Two-Face is in jail or Two-Face just got away.
One or the other. It doesn't matter.
But they still have to make it where Batman's at fault for Harvey Dent.
No. Batman becomes at fault for killing the Joker. And people are like, well, wait a second. You crossed the line.
Yeah, he can't cross that
that's
line.
That's not, dude, that's not right. Okay. Like, we're okay with you running around in your pajamas.
The Joker died instead of Two-Face.
Right.
And okay. I can see that.
It's like, look, this guy threatened to kill people.
Right.
The only people who he really killed were mobsters.
Right.
So it's not like he was a bad guy. He blew up that hospital. But the hospital was But anyway. Like
but he let the hospital be evacuated before he blew it up.
He evacuated it. Yeah. But you change that bit of the story, right? And then you have a much more rich and compelling story that's been built on for the last two movies to tell about Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess he killed Rachel, but that's okay.
Who killed Rachel?
The Joker.
Did he?
Yeah, that's how Two-Face became Two-Face.
Oh, I guess.
Because he put them in the opposite buildings and blew the buildings up.
Okay.
Of course, there was no Boss Maroni or Falcone, I forget which one, to throw acid on his face. But I kind of like the way this one worked out.
Yeah.
Anywho, I feel like that in of itself ruined The Dark Knight for me. Because they could have gone in a different direction and they chose not to for whatever reason. And then I would even almost argue that Heath Ledger is a proto Joker that would lead to a copycat to become the actual Joker.
Okay.
Which could have happened down the line.
Which
in
is
subsequent
kind of what
films.
You think. Well, what I think the Suicide Squad Joker was just a copycat.
I think he was just a shitty.
I think
shitty
Jason.
Character.
I think it was Jason.
Yeah.
And they just left it out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I really would like to see David Ayer's original vision for that movie.
Like the
without
uncut?
All of the.
That wouldn't even be the extended edition.
No, just without any of the Warner's interference
that's what happened with Dark Knight Rises.
Third
too,
act.
I'm pretty sure.
The problem with The Dark Knight Rises is Christopher Nolan's just complete and utter lack of wanting to follow the rules of space and time.
Well,
because there's no way a 5 minute countdown clock should take 45 minutes of screen time.
Sure, it should. It's an Inception. So you're gonna need to make a list of your worst modern superhero movies.
Oh, it's make my list. Fantastic Four. It's The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
It's Age of Ultron.
Did you see that in the theater? Dark Knight Rises.
I saw them all three in the theater.
Oh, okay.
And like Angel and I,
yeah,
are like fight to the death about that movie because she loved it.
I didn't love it. I can't say that I hated it like I hate Age of Ultron.
The only thing I liked about The Dark Knight Rises
is we get to do this now.
Which drives everyone nuts when you and I start talking in Bane voices back and forth
Does
to
it,
each other.
Do we get feedback on that?
No, just, not from the podcast.
Just,
I mean,
we just need to do a whole episode as Bane. You, Manny, we should wait until after Venom, and then one of us can be Venom and the other can be Bane.
You barely adopted the Bane voice. I was born into it.
But no, not like...
You're barely just a clone of the clone of the voice.
Who was a clone of Picard.
Exactly. Number
Boom,
one.
My job. Sure thing, number two. I'm sorry.
Number two.
That's what he should refer to his guy as in Dark Knight Rises.
Number two.
I will say, giving credit where credit is due, Tom Hardy's work with his eyes in that movie is amazing.
And his body and everything. Like,
just the natural
building
way
he
carried himself
up. Because, I mean, you look at Tom Hardy in Black Hawk Down and Star Trek Nemesis, you got a skinny little wiry guy. And then you get the Dark Knight Rises, and then he comes walking down, and it's like WWF music.
Not even
playing.
That. Go look at him in Warrior.
Well, yeah.
Like, he's even more jacked in Warrior. So.
But, I mean, that's the thing is, like, you're like, WWF music playing as Bane comes walking out, and it's like, what happened to this guy? He
because
juiced up.
Even in the one with Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon, Love and Love and War, whatever it's called.
That's a great movie.
It's a great movie, but he's super wiry.
Yeah.
You know?
And then all of a sudden he comes out like, hello, is anybody in for the wrestling match?
he turns his hat backwards and lets arm wrestle.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know?
Except for him, it would just be like,
tell somebody.
Because he takes a breath every once in a while, and you're like, "What? He's about to say something."
But there's this is the other unsatisfying
part. He
gets
to kill Littlefinger before anybody else.
Right. Okay, but this is the unsatisfying part of that, right? He does a, but there's no, there's just no,
Bruce. I am your father.
It's just a breath in. There's no breath out.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's just getting ready to talk.
Yeah.
Darth Vader was just breathing. Like,
well, I get
up, like,
it. I get
straight
it.
Straight up, like, Darth Vader's just angry, like a rabbit dog angry, like breathing all the time.
God,
you're like, why are you breathing all the time?
The Darth Vader comic, the way they deal with the suit is so good.
Oh, they mess with it all the time, don't
do
they?
Do you ever go with the Star Wars Explained YouTube channel? Have you ever checked that out? This kid, I don't know his name, but this kid is awesome. Like, his channel is great.
Yeah.
And he was going
What's
over...
What's he explaining? The comic
like,
books?
The whole, like, thing. Like,
oh, really?
He does an update of every month of what's new to canon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's, like, a very valuable resource.
So he can explain the stuff that I don't read or whatever. Okay.
So anyway, he was talking about Vader's suit and how the Emperor purposely let it become obsolete.
Oh, yeah?
Because...
Conspiracy.
Because, you know, he knew that Anakin was so much more powerful in the Force than him that, you know, the last thing he wants to do is, like,
Make
give
him more powerful. Like, give him the
like
next
Grievous.
Generation suit.
Dude, if you throw Vader in, like, Grievous's rig.
Oh, yeah.
Unstoppable. Yeah. Unstoppable.
Yep. If he could use the Force as the Grievous body.
Yeah.
Damn. Why doesn't Marvel do a what if, like, Star Wars comic book? Because that would be something that would be a cool story.
I have a good idea for it, too, which I'm totally not sharing out loud.
Don't share it.
So.
But there's a lot of stuff you could do that, like, you know, when the Ewoks took over the galaxy and, you know.
What
Palpatine finds an Ewok that's stronger than Anakin in the Force.
What if the Ewoks ate Han Solo?
Ooh. They'd be awesome pilots for about a week.
So
what if Chewbacca ate all the Ewoks?
What if Chewie only ate Porg?
Ooh. You know what? I want to point out something to you. You've seen The Lone Ranger, right?
Not all of it.
Oh, okay.
I had to tap out. That movie was so bad.
People think it is.
That movie was so bad.
Better movie than people think it is. There's a scene in there that Rian Johnson stole and used for the porg scene.
Oh, yeah?
Where Tonto and the ranger are sitting out by a fire with a bunny on a stick.
Oh, and a bunny comes up.
All these bunnies come up and are staring at him. And Tonto throws a piece of the bunny, and they're cannibal bunnies. So they eat it. And I'm like, we watched it the other night because she just like, I told her, I said, I don't care what you watch. I was doing something. And I'm sitting there watching that scene. I'm like, holy crap, that's the pork scene.
I liked Armie Hammer as the Lone
Ranger.
Armie
Hammer was awesome.
By the way, actually, there's
Johnny Depp's not that bad.
There's been very few things.
The thing that I said to her, yeah. I said, is it's Pirates of the Caribbean in the West.
It's Pirates of the Desert.
She said, yeah, she goes, Johnny Depp's playing Jack Sparrow as an Indian.
Yeah, he's like, hiding out.
Yeah. I'm like, totally. I said, it's totally Pirates of the Caribbean. But I told her, I said, the reason why it's Pirates of the Caribbean, I said, the writers, mm-hmm. the director, the producer, the music.
The main star.
The main star.
There's very few things I've seen Armie and Hammer in that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And now, I did not
He played the Winkle?
The Winklevoss.
Winklevoss, that's it. Winkles for some reason.
He was he played the Winklevi.
He was the
twins.
Yeah.
I did not see Call Me By Your Name yet, but I probably won't see that one because that's not really a movie I want to go see anyway. But
why
I liked him in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Actually a superhero role. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was cast to be Batman in the George Miller Justice League.
I would love to see that script.
I would love to see that movie.
You know what that would be cool as? Animated.
Yeah.
Like, take George Miller's script and turn it into one of their DC animated movies.
Oh, did you see the new Death of Superman animated is out now?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
It was like $10 down at Target the other day.
Really?
I did not buy it for some reason.
DVD?
Yeah.
Oh. So.
They have one that has like a little figurine of them too.
I don't care about the figurines.
I don't need those. As you can see, I have enough shit in my office.
Warner Brothers can send me a copy of that movie. I'll review it for them.
There you go. All right.
If you're listening, Warner Brothers.
We've been super random today, so I'm random.
That's the name of the episode. Super Random.
The Super Random Show, starring Johnny and Brian.
It's the Super Random Dark Knight.
I was going to call it What Is a Sequel.
Oh, there you go.
But, you know, because that's mainly what we talked about. Okay, so to close, what the hell is a sequel?
A continuation of the story.
What's a cycle?
A continuation of the life cycle of the person.
What's a prequel?
The thing that happens before the, like, movie. You're talking like, and that's the thing that I pointed out, too, to her, because they had talked about Patriot Games being a sequel to The Hunt for Red October. Patriot Games, the novel, is a prequel to Hunt for Red October. Most people don't know that.
And then finally, what's a spinoff?
Star Trek Voyager.
I mean, those are all spinoffs of each other. Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah, but in a movie, what's
so a spinoff happens in the universe that first thing happened in.
So the Minions
are
a spinoff of Despicable Me.
Tokyo Drift is a spinoff.
That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Like, genre
that later became part of canon, but when it first came out,
well, it could have been it could have still been part of canon because Vin Diesel shows up at the end of it. But if I myself was writing like those movies, I wouldn't have put Han into that movie. I would have left Han out of those movies.
I would put Lucas
not
Black
knowing
in
that
there.
Paul Walker was going to pass away. But when Paul Walker passed away, Lucas Black would have been what I would have brought in to replace him.
Yeah.
Now they can't do that because of the time.
Right.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
See, yeah, I don't know. Anywho. All right.
I think Lucas Black is like,
he's a fantastic little actor.
He's a very very good actor that nobody knows how to use.
Yeah.
Because he has that Southern accent. Because that's not fake.
No.
Watch NCIS. New Orleans, I think, is what he was on.
Oh, was it?
It's like, literally, that's his accent.
Yeah,
that's
his voice.
He had
that
on
is
American
his
Gothic,
voice.
And he toned it down for Tokyo Drift.
Kinda.
He still had it.
Yeah.
But he toned it down.
But
I mean, when he's on, American Gothic as a kid, and then you see him in, X-Files, the X-Files movie for the small part he's in that, and that NCIS New Orleans, because I watched, the first two episodes of it. That's what, like you said, you watched the first. That's his accent.
Cool. All right. On that note, go watch Jack Ryan. Go to flyingporkapparel.com.
Cast Lucas Black in something good.
Buy a shirt.
Good.
Did you see the shirts? The new shirt?
No.
With the propaganda-like logo that Brad made for us? I'll show you when we're done.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, we will see you guys next week.
That's pretty much it.
Later. The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodworth, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.